There's no place in this world where I'll belong when I'm gone. And I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone. And you won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't feel the flowing of the time when I'm gone. All the pleasures of love will not be mine when I'm gone. My pen won't pour a lyric line when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't breathe the bracing air when I'm gone. And I can't even worry about my cares when I'm gone. Won't be asked to do my share when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't be running from the rain when I'm gone. And I can't even suffer from the pain when I'm gone. Can't say who's to praise and who's to blame when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. Won't see the golden of the sun when I'm gone. And the evenings and the mornings will be one when I'm gone. Can't be singing louder than the guns while I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. All my days won't be dances of delight when I'm gone. And the sands will be shifting from my sight when I'm gone. Can't add my name into the fight while I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't be laughing at the lies when I'm gone. And I can't question how or when or why when I'm gone. Can't live proud enough to die when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. There's no place in this world where I'll belong when I'm gone. And I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone. And you won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it. I guess I'll have to do it. Guess I'll have to do it while I'm here.
In the fall of 1958, Phil Oakes attended one semester at Ohio State University but dropped out, and he drifted south and sort of hitchhiked around the country. In Miami, one night he crashed on a park bench, for which he was arrested as a vagrant and spent 2 weeks in jail. This piece of social inequity raised Phil's consciousness, and when he returned to Ohio, he had determined to become a journalist. But he met Jim Glover, a folky musician and activist who turned Phil onto the folk music scene. Phil and Jim became the Sundowners, and Phil began to write songs. His life was an expression very much of what happened in the 60s. You can almost split the 60s right down the middle, hope and promise building up and cynicism and disillusionment going down. When Phil came to Greenwich Village, it was in full flower. Kennedy had been in office for a year. His new frontier held out the promise of the full unlocking of human potential. It was a new day. Hi, this is Bennett. This is the story of Phil Oakes, but it's also the story of a belief that people actually have the power to make change, and the disillusionment that sets in when that change is blocked.
To believe that your generation is going to change the world by its activism and then to run up against what happened in Chicago, you've got two choices. You either accept the limitations of what you can do and carry on working and see what is possible, or you make no compromise. And Phil, I don't think Phil fancied making that compromise.
That's Billy Bragg. This is Phil.
I had a feeling, I had a reaction, first of all, against the counterculture. The idea of a freak counterculture was disastrous. I mean, what was needed was an organic connection to the working class. That's what Robert Kennedy meant, that you had to be one country. You shouldn't socially alienate the real working class of America. And of course, Nixon was using that, and he was getting across this image. It's them against us. I mean, no matter what you think of me, I'm a regular, straight American guy, and if you're not going to have me, you're going to have some hairy freak with dope in the streets and destruction of the country, so take your choice. I mean, that's the game he played, and played very effectively.
Now, so that's the voice of Phil maybe coming down. Phil's parents met in Edinburgh, where Jacob Jack Oakes from New York went to medical school. They married there and then moved to the United States. Phil was born in El Paso, Texas, in December 1940. He had one sister, Sonia, and his brother, Michael Oakes. You'll hear both of their voices in the program tonight. Michael is one of the great musical archivists of his generation, and you will see many credits thanks to Michael Oakes, the Michael Oakes Archive, because he has collected so much music and history. The family moved about quite a bit. They moved to different cities. But see, Jack was a failed doctor. His physician practice never really seemed to work. He was very unsuccessful. During World War II, Jack had served as a medic, for instance, at the Battle of the Bulge. But he experienced very severe depression, and he was medically discharged. In the family, Father Jack was really not around very much. He spent several years in hospitals. The family eventually settled in Ohio. That's where Phil went to high school. They were just about the only Jewish family in their neighborhood, though Jack Oakes was not religious, and he was a communist. Phil Oakes, as a young man, excelled in music. He played woodwinds and could read and write music well. He said that when everybody else was having a life playing football, he was playing the clarinet. When he was in college, he writes for the Ohio State student newspaper. Again, he was doing his own work as a journalist. And he started his own newspaper in Ohio called The Word. He had letters published in major newspapers there. He was passed over for the position of editor for the Ohio State student newspaper because he was too controversial. And so he moved to New York City. He arrived in January 1962. This was a full year after Bob Dylan had arrived. And like Dylan, he spent a lot of time going around and playing everywhere he could. Phil was a songwriter. Phil was determined to be one of the great songwriters, and in fact, he ended up being the number two after Mr. Dylan. Some people had some great things to say about him. Dave Van Ronk commented that as a lyricist, there was nobody like Phil, and there's nobody since. He had a touch that was so distinctive that it could just not be anybody else. He'd been a journalism student before he became a singer, and he would never sacrifice what he felt to be the truth for a good line. Pete Seeger once wrote a note to Phil in 63 saying, "I wish I had one-tenth your talent as a songwriter." And even in 1964, Bob Dylan himself commented in Broadside magazine, "I just can't keep up with Phil, and he's getting better and better and better." He got signed to Elektra Records. He worked for Broadside magazine. He was an editor there. He was just everywhere. In 62, he met his wife-to-be, Alice, and they had a daughter, Megan. He was evidently a fantastic father with Megan. What he liked to do was actually pluck songs directly out of headlines and newspaper stories. So his first album on Elektra is called All the News That's Fit to Sing. And he was one of the first people to actually make comments and protest the Vietnam War. His second album from 1964 was called I Ain't a Marchin' Anymore, which was his anthem and was one of the major anthems during the Vietnam War period. He wrote this amazing song, which is the song that I came in to Phil with. This is the Draft Dodger Rag, And I think this song is hysterically funny. And yet it also shows what kind of thinker he was, how he could write in circles around every idea that he had. This is really smart writing. Here's Phil Oakes, Draft Dodger Rag.
Oh, I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God and Senator Dodd, and I keep an old Castro down. And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red. But when I got to my old draft board, buddy, this is what I said. Sarge, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I've got eyes like a bat and my feet are flat, and my asthma's getting worse. Yes, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school, and I'm a-working in a defense plant. I got a dislocated disc and a racked up back. I'm allergic to flowers and bugs. And when the bombshell hits, I get epileptic fits, and I'm addicted to a thousand drugs. I got the weakness woes, I can't touch my toes, I can hardly reach my knees. And if the enemy came close to me, oh, I'd probably start to sneeze. I'm only 18, got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I've got eyes like a bat, my feet are flat, my asthma's getting worse. Yes, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school, and I'm a-working in a defense plant. Ooh, I hate showing lie, and I hope he dies. But one thing you gotta see, that someone's gotta go over there, and that someone isn't me. So I wish you well, Sarge, give him hell, kill me a thousand or so. And if you ever get a war without blood and gore, I'll be the first to go. Yes, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I've got eyes like a bat, and my feet are flat, and my asthma's getting worse. Yes, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school, and I'm working in a defense plant.
Yeah, great song. Let me also play this wonderful song from 1966 called Changes.
Sit by my side, come as close as the air. Share in a memory of gray, and wander in my words, and dream about the pictures that I play of changes. Green leaves of summer turn red in the fall. To brown and to yellow they fade, and then they have to die, trapped within the circle time parade of changes. Scenes of my young years were warm in my mind, visions of shadows that shine. Till one day I returned and found they were the victims of the vines of changes. The world spinning madly, it drifts in the dark, swings through a hollow of haze, a race around the stars. A journey through the universe ablaze with changes. Gone, but when the morning breaks, they're they're swept away by golden drops of dawn, of changes. Passions will part to a strange melody, as fires will sometimes burn cold, like petals in the wind. We're puppets to the silver strings of souls of changes. Your tears will be trembling, now we're somewhere else. One last cup of wine we will pour. I'll kiss you one more time and leave you on the rolling river shores of changes. So sit by my side, come as close as the air. Share in a memory of gray and wander in my words and dream about the pictures that I play of changes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Phil was a true activist. He had boots on the ground. After the second Newport Folk Festival he went with the Mississippi Caravan of Music to encourage voter registration among African Americans in Mississippi. He was there when the bodies of three civil rights workers were discovered in swamps, and he interviewed Mississippians on the street for their reactions, which meant that he wrote the song Here's to the State of Mississippi from that. He very much was part of the scene. He didn't just comment on it. He didn't stand outside of it. In 1965, he released I Ain't Marchin' Anymore. He did more in 66. He played his first solo concert at Carnegie Hall. His satirical songs were getting better. He was writing more. He must have written 100 songs during that time period. And he reached a kind of a peak that he could with Elektra Records. Now we come to one other side to Phil, which is that he desperately wanted to have a hit record. He may have been a boots-on-the-ground kind of real protester and activist, but at the same time, he wanted to record an album that was a bestseller. He moved in 1967 to Los Angeles, and he set about to find a record label. So Phil decided to transform. He decided to add orchestration to his music, not just play the acoustic guitar. And here from the Pleasures of the Harbor album, the first album he did, he signed with A&M Records. Larry Marks was his producer. And this was the first single that he released, Cross My Heart and I Hope to Live.
I don't know, but it seems that every single dream's painting pretty pictures in the air. Then it tumbles in despair, and it starts to bend till by the end it's a nightmare. But I'm gonna give all that I've got to give. Cross my heart and I hope to live. I don't know, but it's true, so many things you do feel, so they leave you feeling warm. It's the calm before the storm, for the habit grows, and before you know it, you're deep gone. So I'm gonna give all that I've got to give. Cross my heart, and I hope to live.
But I see that everything is free. When you're young, the treasures you can take, but the bridge is bound to break. And you reach the end screaming, it's all been a mistake. So I'm gonna give all that I've got to give. Cross my heart, and I hope to live. And it starts to bend till by the end it's a nightmare. But I'm gonna give all that I've got to give. Cross my heart.
Monopoly is so much fun, I'd hate to blow the game. And I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends. Riding down the highway, yes, my back is getting stiff. 13 cars have piled up, they're hanging on a cliff. Maybe we should pull them back with our towing chain. But we gotta move and we might get sued, and it looks like it's gonna rain. And I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends. Sweating in the ghetto with the colored and the poor. The rats have joined the babies who are sleeping on the floor. Now wouldn't it be a riot if they really blew their tops? But they got too much already, and besides we've got the cops. And I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends. Oh, there's a dirty paper using sex to make her sales. The Supreme Court was so upset they sent him off to jail. Maybe we should help the fiend and take away his fine. But we're busy reading Playboy and the Sunday New York Times. And I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends. Smoking marijuana is more fun than drinking beer. But a friend of ours was captured and they gave him 30 years. Maybe we should raise our voices, ask somebody why. But demonstrations are a drag, besides we're much too high. And I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends. To the bushes, and now she's being stabbed. Maybe we should call the cops and try to stop the pain. But Monopoly is so much fun, I'd hate to blow the game. And I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends.
Those were the two singles that were released from the album, Pleasures of the Harbor. And here's a little audio clip with Larry Marks, who produced the Pleasures of the Harbor album, Michael Oakes, Phil's brother, who was also acting as his manager during this period, Phil himself on a TV show, and then Jerry Moss, one of the owners of the label, A&M.
Phil always felt that he was the greatest songwriter, the greatest singer, and that there wasn't any reason that this wasn't going to be the number one album. Everybody else was relatively realistic about the area we were in, what we were trying to do here, but why dial somebody down like that who was so aggressively, involved in his own career and willing to do almost anything to make it happen?
So the album comes out, gets horrible reviews. But the record didn't totally bomb. I mean, it was no Sgt. Pepper, but it actually did become his biggest selling album.
My Pleasure of the Harbor album has been widely attacked, and people love it or hate it. And I happen to love it.
We orchestrated every song, in sometimes symphony.
You get along fine without it. Why all of a sudden?
I wanted to extend my musical boundaries.
I think this does it.
Yeah, I think the lyrics are.
What about the folk singers who were turning rock, like the Mamas and Papas and the Lovin' Spoonfuls?
You can turn any way you want. I thought I was much more interested in counterpoint, counter melody, and orchestral textural sounds rather than just putting a rock band in the back of me.
Well, you're one of my favorite folk singers. I got to tell you, listen, there's no question about it. So let's sing.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're one of my favorite club owners.
Okay. Right.
I never looked on Phil as being a huge selling artist. I looked on him as being a valuable commodity in the sense of who he was and what he represented and how he spoke for the label, you know. We were just proud to have him. We were proud to be associated with him, and we liked him. He was just a fun guy to be around at that time, you know.
As a form of mental civil disobedience, Phil Oakes organized two War Is Over rallies. One in Los Angeles on June 23 and one in New York City on November 26th. In other words, declaring that the Vietnam War was over when it was still going on and there were still boots on the ground. See, Phil was into making gestures. This was, of course, before John and Yoko did their War Is Over thing in 1970. This is 3 years before that. Phil actually became part of the Yippies, and he supported Eugene McCarthy for presidency in 1968. Of course, that was the year that there was so much death and destruction in the country. And he released his second album for A&M. And here's a song that he wrote on that second album that is really extraordinary. It's the story of the labor leader, Joe Hill. It's a mythic story, and Phil brought it to consciousness.
Joe Hill come over from Sweden shore, looking for some work to do. And the Statue of Liberty waved him by. Joe come a sailing through Joe Hill. Joe come a-sailing through. Oh, his clothes were coarse and his hopes were high as he headed for the promised land. And it took a few weeks on the out-of-work streets before he began to understand. Before he began to understand. And Joe got hired by Bowery Bar, sweeping up the saloon. As his rag would sail o'er the barroom rail, sounded like he was holding on a tune. You could almost hear him whistling on a tune. And Joe rolled on from job to job, from the docks to the railroad line. And no matter how hungry the hand that wrote, in his letters he was always doing fine. In his letters he was always doing fine. Oh, the years went by like the sun going down. Slowly turned the page. And when
had nothing to show but his age. He had nothing to show but his age. So he headed out for the California shore. Their things were just as bad. So he joined the industrial workers of the world. His union was the only friend he had. His union was the only friend he had. Now the strikes were bloody and the strikes were black, as hard as they were long. In the dark of the night, Joe would stay awake and write. In the morning, he would raise them with a song. In the morning, he would raise them with a song. And he wrote his words to the tunes of the day to be passed along the union band. And the strikes were led and the songs were spread. And Joe Hill was always on the line. Yes, Joe Hill was always on the line. Hardly blue to find. Oh, the proof was poor, but the sheriff was sure Joe was the killer of the crime. That Joe was the killer of the crime. Joe raised his hands, but they shot him down. He had nothing but guilt to give. It's the doctor I need and the left him to bleed. But he made it cause he had the will to live. Yes, he made it cause he had the will to live. Then the trial was held in a building of wood. And there the killer was named. And the days weighed more than the cold copper ore. Cause he feared that he was being framed. Cause he found out that he was being framed. Oh, strange are the ways of the Western law. Strange are the ways of fate. For the government crawled to the mine owner's call. And the judge was appointed by the state. Yes, the judge was appointed by the state. Oh, Utah justice can be had. But not for a union man. And Joe was warned by summer early morn. There'd be one less singer in the land. There'd be one less singer in the land. Now William Spry was Governor Spry. And life was his to hold. On the last appeal for the governor's tears, may the Lord have mercy on his soul. May the Lord have mercy on his soul. Even President Wilson held up the day, but even he would fail. For nobody heard the soul-searching words of the soul in the Salt Lake City jail. Of the soul in the Salt Lake City jail. For 36 years he lived out his days, and he more than played his part. For the songs that he made, he was carefully paid, with a rifle bullet buried in his heart. With a rifle bullet buried in his heart. Yes, they lined Joe Hill up against the wall, blindfolded over his eyes. It's the life of the rebel that he chose to live. It's the death of the rebel that he died. It's the death of the rebel that he died. Now some say Joe was guilty as charged, and some say he wasn't even there. And I guess nobody will ever know, cause the court records all disappear.
'cause the court records all disappear. See, wherever you go in this fair land, in every union hall, in the dusty dark, these words are marked in between all the cracks on the wall. In between all the cracks on the wall, it's the very last line that Joe Hill wrote when he knew that his days were through. Boys, this is my last and final will. Good luck to all of you. Good luck to all of you.
Wow. Just listening to that just made me feel Phil all the way through. He was one of the organizers of the protests at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Mayor Richard Daley, with obvious collaboration from the federal government, refused to issue any permits for the protests, though Phil was able to do one legitimate event during the convention time, and he performed at what was called a Lyndon Johnson birthday party. But the protests were actually not met like we're seeing now. We're seeing the protests are being accepted. People are learning to deal with them. But in Chicago, they just attacked with brute force. It was basically later considered to be a police riot. The convention nominated Hubert Humphrey, who was basically Lyndon Johnson's lackey. And this opened the way for Richard Nixon to be elected, who cynically exploited right-wing resentment over civil rights and hippies. The die was cast. The government, in effect, had issued an edict that it would listen to no reason or its own people. The moneyed interests always run things, and now no one was even pretending otherwise. Phil took this very personally. His next album was called Rehearsals for Retirement, and the front cover was a picture of his own tombstone saying that he died in Chicago in 1968. That's taking it pretty personally. What I want to do for a while here, I'm going to continue with Phil's story because there actually is more to it. But what I want to do is just play some of the great music that Phil made in the 60s, and we'll pick up his story in just a little bit. Here we go.
Silent soldiers on a silver screen, framed in fantasies and drugged in dreams. Unpaid actors of the mystery. The mad director knows that freedom will not make you free. And what's this got to do with me? I declare the war is over. It's over. Fading rhythms of a fading land. Prove your courage in the proud parade. Trust your leaders where mistakes are almost never made. And they're afraid that I'm afraid. Painting angry signs, use their vision just to blind the blind. Poison players of a grisly game. One is guilty and the other gets to point the blame. Pardon me if I refrain. join with pride. Serve your country in her suicide. Find a flag so you can wave goodbye. But just before the end, even treason might be worth a try. This country is too young to die. Dawn, and their whistling marches as they mow the lawn, and the gargoyles only sit and grieve. The gypsy fortune teller told me that we've been deceived. You only are what you believe.
And here is the only song of his that ever made any kind of hits. This is Joan Baez singing There But For Fortune. This is a beautiful song. I still feel Phil in jail when he was 18.
Many reasons why this One of the shadiest of these is the Liberals. An outspoken group on many subjects. 10 degrees to the left of center in good times. 10 degrees to the right of center if it affects them personally. So here then is a lesson in safe logic.
I cried when they shot Medgar Evers. Tears ran down my spine. And I cried when they shot Mr. Kennedy, as though I'd lost a father of mine. But Malcolm X got what was coming. He got what he asked for this time. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. Get it? I go to civil rights rallies and I put down the old DAR. DAR, that's the Dykes of the American Revolution. I love Harry and Sidney and Sammy. I hope every colored boy becomes a star. But don't talk about revolution. That's going a little bit too far. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. I cheered when Humphrey was chosen. My faith in the system restored. And I'm glad that the commies were thrown out from the AFL-CIO board. And I love Puerto Ricans and Negroes as long as they don't move next door. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. Ah, the people of old Mississippi should all hang their heads in shame. Now I can't understand how their minds work. What's the matter, don't they watch Les Crane? But if you ask me to bus my children, I hope the cops take down your name. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. Yes, I read New Republic and Nation. I've learned to take every view. You know, I've memorized Lerner and Golden. I feel like I'm almost a Jew. But when it comes to times like Korea, there's no one more red, white, and blue. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. I vote for the Democratic Party. They want the UN to be strong. I attend all the Pete Seeger concerts. He sure gets me singing those songs. And I'll send all the money you ask for. But don't ask me to come on along. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. Sure, once I was young and impulsive. I wore every conceivable pin. Even went to socialist meetings. Learned all the old union hymns. Ah, but I've grown older and wiser. And that's why I'm turning you in. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal.
And then after Chicago, musically, I wrote an album about the death of the American called Rehearsals for Retirement, sort of like the death of the liberal American. And there's a poem on the back of the album saying that the American rule was over, the American day was over, and it ended. These last days, these trials and tragedies were, after all, only our rehearsals for retirement.
Let us be united for peace. Let us also be united against defeat. Because let us understand, North Vietnam cannot defeat or humiliate the United States. Only Americans can do that.
And so there's my happy, optimistic viewpoint of 1968. What else do you want to know?
Blue forest faded and forgotten. I crawled through the cotton fields picking for cotton. The overseer sneered, his whipping was rotten with ecstasy. In childlike terror, I tore at the taproots. Guards of the lash were calling to follow suit. I dashed for the swamps, the hounds in hot pursuit. Jealously, all through the night, a figure of fright as I hid my head. And they buried their nose in a cut of my clothes, now torn in shreds. And they never would leave till they believed that I was dead. But I'd never curse their names. Oh, who am I to blame? I know I'd do the same endlessly. And all the highborn ladies, so lovely and so true, have been handed to the soldiers when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Frail and afraid in the mists of the morning, the snakes and the spiders were sadly performing. The bark of the dogs kept up the warning inside the wood. Sweating and swearing, I crawled from the manger. The highway appeared to take me from danger. Is there anyone here who would pick up a stranger? Oh, I wish you could. Then someone replied, would you like a ride? Come in, he said. We drove for a while. He gave me a smile and a piece of bread.
When movements feel they're running up against a stone wall, they start to become more militant, thinking that persuasion isn't going to work and we have to knock the wall down. So you began to get bombings of property, weather underground. On the other hand, you get people not willing to do, you know, violent property destruction, therefore feeling that they were isolated, stranded, nowhere.
The hammer was hard in the chrome of the car as I cracked his head. Then we took off in a spin. Whoa, I smashed his skull again. Whoa, thank you, my good friend. I feel so good. And all the highborn ladies, so lovely and so true, have been handed to the soldiers when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Late in the evening, I came to the city. I fell to the sidewalk, sighing for pity. A diamond was dropped from the hands of the pretty to be so kind. Cowards and corpses were busy competing. The rhymes of the riots were busy repeating. I raced to the corner and sped from the speeding to save my mind. Latches and locks, companies of cops ran from the rain. There was silk in the stores for the whims of the whores that shone with shame. I asked for a light from a priest in the night. Then I fanned the flames, and the traffic
all stood still. See if someone had been killed. I was glad to leave a thrill so far behind. And all the highborn ladies, so lovely and so true, have been handed to the soldiers when in Rome, do as the Romans do. A monk and his mother were dancing so dandy, the topless nun was handing out candy. The beautiful bishop broke out the brandy, the kiss we crave. They stuttered and stammered, would I feel like staying? We fell to our knees, feverishly praying. The salt in the saltpeter seemed to be saying, be brave, be brave. I reached for a robe, I preached and I probed, and I taught the tomb. And the greed for the guilt was played to the hilt, as I promised doom. I toyed with their fears till coins and tears filled the room. Then I took off down the road, laughing madly like a toad. God bless every soulless soul that would be saved. And all the highborn ladies, so lovely and so true, have been handed to the soldiers when in Rome, do as the Romans do. A chorus of children were passing the hours. I joined in their fun and gave them my flowers, covered with kisses and showered with showers that they repay. Taking and trusting, would I be their teacher? She looked so appealing, I wanted to touch her. Just out of reach, unable to reach her, their hands raised, charmed by the chalk. The lessons were taught inside the class. They studied the rules of the samurai schools they had to pass. The room was adjourned, the lessons were learned. I turned on the gas and I watched them make their pleas. They passed the test. Their degrees, they made the grade. And all the highborn ladies, so lovely and so true, have been handed to the soldiers when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Feeling my weakness, a coward for company, I joined the ranks of the hot and the hungry, to teach what it means to have love for your country. We marched away, we lowered our lives for the lines of a border. We danced with the mothers, played with the daughters. We followed our fantasies, following orders. It was child's play.
I guess everybody goes through a certain stage of disillusionment, you know, and decides, well, the world is not the sweet and fair place. I always assumed and that justice went out. I always thought justice went out. I no longer think that by any stretch. I don't think fairness wins anymore.
After the war, the bullets were bored, so we kept the game. With cynical smiles, we put them on trial to place the blame. Now what kind of beast would love such a feast, have you no shame? So we hung them by the feet, whoa, we shot them in the street, whoa, the victory was sweet on Victory Day. To the soldiers when in Rome, do as the Romans do. The bread and the circuses came to be nearing. The Savior or somebody must be appearing. Pagans and pageants were all disappearing inside my head. Stones on the statues were staring and stalling. Caesar and Cassius were cursing and calling. The empire had risen and now it was falling. Or so it seemed. The crown and the cross seemed empty and lost in dark despair. And luminous lies and death in disguise were everywhere. The canvas was cold, the story was old, I said my prayer. Then I crowned him on the head, whoa, I blessed him as he bled. Whoa, at last, the king is dead, God save the queen. And all the high-born ladies, so lovely and so true, have been handed to the soldiers. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Now nothing remains for building or burning. The losing of lovers was all I was learning. A time to escape and a time for returning had come to me. Back through the ashes and back through the embers, back through the roads and the ruins I remembered. My hands at my side I sadly surrender. Do as you please. The hero was home. Proven and grown, I fell on the floor. Mad with romance, they started to dance. Their star was born. I bled like the rain, exploded in pain. Then I screamed for more. Whoa, make me feel sublime. Release me from my mind. Set me free. And all the high-born ladies, so lovely and so true, have been handed to the soldiers. When in Rome, do as the Romans do.
The main issue was the fact that he had the manic depression, and that really started to tear him apart.
Because my father was a manic depressive, and because manic depression ran in our families, way back we sort of made a vow to each other that neither one of us would ever commit the other.
And each time the highs would get higher, and then the lows would sink lower.
The mania is like cocaine. It's like you can't... It's like that incredible rush, that incredible energy. And to admit you're a manic depressive is almost negating your creativity. And so for Phil to admit that was almost like giving credit for his talent to something that was beyond his control.
This next song is my apology for moving to Los Angeles, which intrigues me like a beautiful, sensual morgue. I think the final irony is that the history of Western man, when you consider the history of Western man and the Renaissance and everything else, the final story, the final chapter of Western man, I believe, lies in Los Angeles. That's where it ended up. That's true. Everybody kept moving. Everybody kept leaving. They left England to come here, and they kept moving west to colonize and colonize. Now that it's every day, thousands of people arrive in Los Angeles to find the answer. And they're going to find the answer.
Don't you think it's time that we were leaving for another chance, another place to start? Desperate ones that went across the ocean, and they wondered how it would all turn out. If you have to beg or steal or borrow, welcome to Los Angeles, city of tomorrow. They landed on the coldest of the colony, but still they wanted better than the rest. They built highways on the houses of the homestead. It happened that way, moving west. If you have to beg or steal or borrow, welcome to Los Angeles, city of tomorrow. So this is where the Renaissance has led to.
After Chicago, Phil, well, he released the rehearsals of Retirement album with the tombstone on the cover. At the end of 1969, he testified in the Chicago 7 trial, where the defendants were charged with incitement to riot during the Chicago convention. He actually recited the lyrics to his song, I Ain't Marching Anymore, which got him on TV just for doing that. Phil tried to put himself back together again, and he made another stab at being a musical person. He did a tour where he decided that he was going to try to become a real rock and roller. And he actually went to Nudie's and got himself a gold lamé suit, like Elvis wore on the cover of one of his golden records. Phil actually tried to present himself as a socially conscious rock and roll singer. And he did a brief tour. I have recordings from the Troubadour here in Los Angeles, and then there was the recordings from Carnegie Hall, where he came out and he did Buddy Holly songs and Elvis songs, as well as his own songs. And in fact, here is from Carnegie Hall, here is the version of the song Pleasures of the Harbor that he did during these shows.
Straining at the oars or staring from the rail.
time has been her pay, and time will have to tell. Oh, soon your sailing will be over. Come and take the pleasures of the harbor. And the anchor hits the sand. Hungry hands have tied them to the port. He asks her of her name. She answers with no shame and not a sense of sin. Till the fingers draw the blind, sip of wine, cigarette of doubt. The candle is blown out, the darkness is so kind. Oh, soon your sailing will be over.
In 1970, Phil recorded his final album, and it is the ironically titled Phil Oakes' Greatest Hits, because he never had any hits, and it's all new songs. It was produced by the great Van Dyke Parks, actually, and this song, Chords of Fame, is, it says a lot about Phil.
By the stage last night, he was breathing his last breath. By bottle of gin and a cigarette was all that he had left. I can see you making music, 'cause you carry your guitar. But God help the troubadour who tries to be a star. So play the chorus of love, my friend. As they try to take the world, when they find their melody, they're surrounded by the girls. But it all fades so quickly, like a sunny summer's day. Reporters ask you questions, they write down what you say.
Now, Phil started to do some traveling in 1970. In October 1970, he went to Paris with Jerry Rubin and met the organizers of the 1968 Paris Rebellion. In 1971, with Rubin, Oakes flew into Chile to view the country in the aftermath of the election of the popularly elected communist leader, Salvador Allende. And there he met Victor Jara, a popular singer with overtly political side to him, who was very, very popular in Chile. He actually did a TV show with Jara in Chile. And there is film of Phil doing interviews in Chile at the time, interviewing other people about the situation there. At the end of 1971, Oakes did a rally with John Lennon and hung out with John Lennon for a while. He decided in 1973, lots going on for Phil, though he wasn't recording any albums, he decided that he wanted to tour through Africa. And he contacted A&M Records and said, I want to go to Africa, but I'd like to be able to write off the trip as a business expense. And Jerry Moss said, well, we'll call a studio there in Kenya and you can record there. So Phil went to Kenya, and he traveled all across Africa, Tanzania, and he went all over the country, all over the continent. And this is the record, Boitue, that he made with the Pan-African Ngembo Rumba Band. And this is a true African rumba record from the 70s. and it's mostly in Lingala. But Phil actually comes in singing in English towards the end of it. This is quite beautiful. This was the last single that Phil released in his lifetime.
Watu ya bolingo watu salongo watu we watu ya nenge moko watu ya bolingo watu salongo watu we watu ya nenge moko ibaleza limona hii mai kuchola mbangu ibaleza limona hii mai kuchola mbangu dona na na bokasi dona na na bokasi dona na na bokasi watuwe 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 watu ya bolingo watu salongo watu ya nenge moko watu ya bolingo watu salongo watu ya nenge moko ibaleza limona hii kuchola mbangu ibaleza limona hii
taking the tide
hey,
broken the chain
dona na na bokasi dona na na bokasi dona na na bokasi watuwe 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 bolingo kombina ngambo dona ne makasi to kombina ngambo watu ya salongo kombina ngambo dona ne makasi to kombina ngambo watu ya bolingo boto salongo watu e watu ya nenge moko
I think that's an absolutely beautiful song. But while Phil was in Africa, something bad happened to him. I'll let Michael explain it here.
One of the things Phil did was walk along these deserted beaches. Two Africans jumped him, strangled him almost to death, stole his watch and his wallet, and left him for dead. And Phil wakes up, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours later. Luckily, he's okay, except they bent his vocal cords.
So Phil lost the upper range of his singing voice because of that incident for the rest of his life. But when he came back to the States, there was even worse news.
September 11th, 1973, Allende was assassinated by a military coup in Chile. There were those of us who believed that this coup was not just a military in Chile, but that the United States was involved, that the CIA was involved.
The presidential palace in Santiago was the symbol of power in Chile, something like the White House in the United States. Now it is a bombed out, burned out, shot up wreck.
America had this incredible fear of if this Marxist government succeeded, it could be the domino effect, the same theory that they applied to Vietnam. Phil researched, and he believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the CIA had set up this coup.
And it put Pinochet in power, and the military, and thousands of people began disappearing.
To make it totally personal, he found out what happened to his friend Victor Jara.
The army put several thousand students and professors and Victor...
That's Pete Seeger.
...all in a big soccer stadium, and they... put a table in the middle of this stadium. They said, put your hands on the table. And they came down with rifle butts on his hands till there were bloody pulps. And they said, now sing for us, you cocksucker. And he staggered to his feet with his face white and his bloody hands dripping. And he walked over to the stands and says, compañeros, let's sing a song for El Comandante. And waving his hands, his bloody hands, they sing the anthem of Salva Allende's Popular Unity Party. And the whole stands hesitantly joined in with him. It was too much for the colonel. They opened fire with machine guns, sprayed the stands, and he was shot with many bullets in his back.
It happened very quickly, it happened very brutally, and it happened to all the intellectuals and all the poets and all the writers. It's like our whole equivalent society was rounded up in the stadium and gunned down.
Phil lost his mind over this and said he was going to do a benefit for to benefit the Chilean refugees.
He goes to New York, puts together some people to help him organize this big concert at Madison Square Garden.
Remember, Phil had been dead before the Chile concert. Phil was a weak man. He was floundering, making a fool of himself.
When Phil was depressed, he wallowed in it. He really did not fight it. And it took some kind of outside experience to bring him out of it, be it the songwriting, be it political benefits.
And when Phil came alive again, people responded.
The tickets are selling so slowly, it's going to be a disaster. Instead of raising money, they're going to lose money. And then coincidentally, Phil runs into Bob Dylan at a club, and he quotes one of Bob's early songs and says, hey, Bob, how'd you like a job singing almost for nothing? Yeah. And Bob cracks up laughing.
So Bob came over to the apartment, and we were downstairs in that bunker, and Phil had Salvador Allende's inauguration speech, his inaugural address, and he read it, and it was just, we were just blown away, and we were silent, and it was very, you know, very moving. And he told us about Victor Jara and that he had to do this to avenge Victor's death for his wife and child.
And he finally got Dylan to say that he will probably come. And of course, we sold out.
All this, what we're trying to do here is an experiment in aesthetics and politics. We're trying to get across the political message. The mere fact of you yelling more is part of a kind of fan worship.
People were screaming for Dylan and screaming for whomever. And he said, you're not here to fuck stars. You're here to help the Chilean refugees. And you are going to learn about what happened to this country.
That concert was the first time that people got up in public and said that the CIA was behind the overthrow of Salvador Allende.
Elements of the para-state, the United States, were complicit at the very least in creating the conditions, the states of emergency, the shortages, the dislocations, the sabotages that, if you like, manured the ground.
This event made this revelation about U.S. policy in Latin America, and it was big and it had major impact. I mean, it raised money, it produced a lousy set of musical tapes, but a great show.
Okay, this is the end of the show. One more song, Blowing in the Wind, and I'll see you pretty soon in Santiago. Let's take it away.
And I was backstage, and Phil was a wreck. Phil was completely drunk. And Bob started drinking. He was pretty drunk, too.
Even at that event, the people felt that they needed to take care of Phil. Pete Seeger, who he's like the daddy of them all. And when he saw Phil in the state that he was in, he said, you got to take care of him. He's got his voice is too important to lose in the movement.
Chile concert was profound for Phil, too, because it brought him back into what he did best, which was to organize a protest.
You know, that little recording of Blowing in the Wind there. The thing is that that's a Dylan show that there are no tapes of, as one of the commentators said. Famous for that. But Phil was a drunk, and his bipolar problems were just getting worse all the time. He fought with A&M for years to release the live album from Carnegie Hall, which he called Gunfight at Carnegie Hall. And so it finally was released in 1975. The only problem was that it was released in Canada only. It wasn't released in the United States. In May 1975, Phil Oakes, in 2 weeks, put together his last event, a huge rally in Central Park celebrating the end of the Vietnam War. A crowd of between 50 and 100,000 people showed up and saw Phil with Joan Baez sing There But For Fortune.
Phil Oakes no longer exists. He passed away a long time ago, so all you're seeing here is an illusion, an unimportant illusion.
Yep, Phil started to fall apart. December
of 1975, he spiraled totally out of control.
Yeah, let's go across the street.
He had been jailed in Las Vegas and was actually thrown in a cell, and he says, guess who it was? Bobby Kennedy. He's not dead after all. I said, wait a minute, Phil. Yeah, and he goes, and I got a new, I'm now on John Train.
Brother can't spare a dime, he can't spare a dime on his fucking Volkswagen.
He became schizophrenic, inventing another persona that Phil Oakes was a piece of shit and useless, no longer needed, therefore he should be killed.
Now Phil Oakes is dead, now I'm Luke Train. You're Jet Ring, Phil, and you're, what's your name?
Gary
Cooper. All right.
He completely changed. He was no longer the person that he was. He was gone.
Second was 1917. I was born 1917.
Phil, he called me up. He said, you know, be on the corner of 6th Avenue and 4th Street and something at 12 o'clock. Something's going to happen. It was this building he allegedly was buying for his company called Barricade Records.
That is called Barricade. House of Barricade. The Barricade Group Limited. Barricade Limited. 25 companies. A multinational corporation on the left. He's going to buy the world and throw it away, all the money away, give it away. It's a spit money.
There was nothing we could do because he was so crazy at that point. Had we tried to hospitalize him, he did threaten to kill my brother Michael if he did that to him. So he was really gone.
Yeah, Phil went overboard. He was no longer even Phil. He'd killed Phil. The last little quote here is from Megan Oakes, Phil's daughter. At the time that Phil was like this, she was about 12 years old.
And the last time I saw him, he showed up with a belt with a hammer in it and definitely was transitioning. And then as soon as he saw me, he completely changed. And the belt went away and the hammer went away and he became my father. And on that trip, we went to a flea market and he bought me a set of encyclopedias. He bought me a cat that he named Rimbaud. I was probably 20 years old before I read Arthur Rimbaud. And these are like the seeds that I feel like my father planted for me that over time he meant for me to discover. He meant for me to discover art and poetry and politics.
On April 9th, 1976, Phil Oakes, in his sister Sonia's house on Long Island, far Rockaway, rather, hanged himself, and he was 36. You know, I don't know, I was in college when Phil killed himself, and it really did have a powerful effect on me. It made me stop and actually ponder things. So many reasons why. A program about Phil Oakes.
Hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody home? I've only called to say I'm sorry. The drums are in the dark and all the voices gone, and it seems that there
song. Once I knew a girl, she was a flower in a flame. I loved her as the sea sings sadly. Now the ashes of the dream can be found in the magazines, and it seems that there are no more songs. Once I knew a saint who sang upon the stage. He told about the world, his lover, a ghost without a name, stands ragged in the rain, and it seems that there are no more songs. The scar is in the sky, it's time to say goodbye. A whale is on the beach, he's dying. A white flag in my hand, and a white bone in the sand. And it seems that there are no more songs. Hello, hello, hello. Anybody home? I've only called to say I'm sorry. The drums are in the dawn, and all the voices gone, and it seems that there are no more songs. It seems that there are no more songs. It seems that there are no more songs.
Is there anybody home? I've only called to say I'm sorry. Stay tuned, please.